Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond. A podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. This is what the 82-year-old Ruth Bader Ginsburg said when asked at Harvard University what advice she would give young women today. She chose to focus on passion and leadership. In just one sentence, she sums up what it means to be a true leader. To lead, not by coercion, but by example, and to take initiative. In 2020, the World Economic Forum released the third Future of Jobs report. Respondents to their survey on the top 10 skills needed for 2025 listed leadership and social influence as number 7. But what do we mean by leadership? We often use the terms leadership and management interchangeably. Some people even mistakenly believe that holding a managerial position automatically makes them a leader. But while managers can be good leaders, these are two very different things. Companies have any number of managers. Manager is a title and establishes a person's position in the hierarchy. Managers have a job description and a list of responsibilities. Leadership, on the other hand, is a quality that comprises different skills and attitudes and can be developed over time. In a 2022 article on LinkedIn, futurist and speaker Jacob Morgan describes a manager as being someone who understands the business, so who knows the numbers, processes and strategies. They delegate to their employees and improve their weaknesses. He goes on to explain that leaders know how to engage, empower and motivate people. They believe in experimentation and aim to develop their employees. Leaders lead with influence and don't rely on their job title to make a difference. Leaders have a growth mindset and are continually learning and coaching their teams. They focus on their team's strengths to move towards a goal. Another very succinct definition is the one given by Peter Drucker and Warren Bennis. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. According to psychologist Daniel Goleman, good leaders have one essential feature in common. They all possess a high degree of emotional intelligence, or EQ. Goleman is one of the world's experts on emotional and social intelligence and has worked in the field for several decades. His research with companies has shown that emotional intelligence is twice as important as both IQ and technical ability in determining outstanding performance. In a 2022 interview with Business and Leadership, he explains how IQ and emotional intelligence are important in different areas. He says, IQ, which is mostly the rate at which you acquire new cognitive information and understanding, is essential for success in school, for mastering technical skills, for a broad range of applications. He goes on to make the point that IQ is also important for predicting the kind of job that a person can do. However, once a person is in that job, IQ alone cannot predict whether a person will become a good leader or not. He explains, when it comes to leadership, you're dealing with a different skill set. You need to have self-mastery. You need to lead yourself, as they say. And also, you need to persuade, empathize, listen, communicate, elaborate, do all those things that require people skills. That's the emotional intelligence domain. Even today, one of Harvard Business Review's 10 must-read articles is Goleman's What Makes a Leader from 2004. In it, he lays out the five components of emotional intelligence. The first one is self-awareness. This refers to the ability to recognize and understand your own emotions, strengths and weaknesses, needs and drives. People who have a high level of self-awareness are not disparaging of themselves, nor do they view themselves in an overly favorable way, but rather in an honest and realistic way. They're also aware of how their feelings affect other people and their job performance. In addition, they'll make decisions that are aligned with these values and goals rather than allowing themselves to digress. The second component is self-regulation. This is the ability to control or channel disruptive impulses or feelings to make them more productive. So, an executive with poor self-regulation who's just watched their team give a bad presentation might well glower at them or even have a fiery outburst. Yet, if the executive had better self-regulation, they might at first exert restraint, considering whether there might have been mitigating circumstances or what else might have contributed to the poor performance, before then discussing this with the team and finding a solution. The former behaviour creates an unpredictable environment in which employees, or indeed students, can feel threatened, whereas the latter creates an environment characterised by trust, fairness and integrity. As Goleman writes, extreme displays of negative emotion have never emerged as a driver of good leadership. The next component is motivation, more importantly, intrinsic motivation. Although many people have high levels of extrinsic motivation in their jobs, for instance, a high salary, perks, or status, it's intrinsic motivation that's important for great leaders. According to Goleman, leaders are motivated by a deeply embedded desire to achieve for the sake of achievement. This manifests itself in their passion for their work, their desire to improve, and their enthusiasm to find different and new ways to do things. Then comes empathy. A successful leader is able to empathize with their employees, see things from their perspective, and also take this into account when making decisions. It doesn't, however, mean that they have to try to please everyone. Goleman explains that empathy is particularly important today due to the increasing use of teams, the rapid pace of globalization, and the growing need to retain talent. And even today, this is still very true. The final component is social skill. This one, like empathy, is to do with a person's ability to handle relationships with other people. While this might not sound particularly difficult, it's about being able to get people on board and to move them in the direction that you want. He describes socially skilled people as being those who are able to find common ground and find a connection with very different kinds of people. We all know people who seem to light up a room when they enter on account of their positive energy and ability to connect. Goleman sees social skill as being the culmination of the other dimensions of emotional intelligence. But perhaps most importantly of all, Goleman sees emotional intelligence as being something that isn't innate, but something that can be learned. He also sees emotional literacy as being something that should be taught in schools. What other aspects are important? Goleman has also researched into the importance of focus for leadership. In a 2014 article for the Greater Good magazine, he writes, "Directing attention toward where it needs to go is a primal task of leadership. Talent here lies in the ability to shift attention to the right place at the right time, sensing trends, emerging realities, and opportunities." However, as he goes on to point out, it's not enough to focus on goals. If we merely focus single-mindedly on our goals and ignore the people around us, we can become blinded by our goals. Instead, he talks about the need for three different areas of focus. Self, or inner awareness. This helps us to tune into our emotions, drives, and values, which will in turn enable us to make better decisions. People, or other awareness. This means that we can tune into other people's feelings, issues, and values, which will facilitate our connections with those around us. And system, or outer awareness, allowing us to find our way around the world. He concludes by saying, "And it's not just leaders who benefit from a balance in this triple focus. All of us live in daunting environments rife with tensions and competing goals and lures of modern life. Each of the three varieties of attention can help us find balance where we can be both happy and productive." In addition, good leaders need to develop a tolerance for ambiguity. This is something that Andrew J. Dubrin talks about in his book, Leadership: Research, Findings, Practice and Skills. He explains that in today's rapidly changing world, leaders need to be able to tolerate ambiguity as well as grow from it, as problems become more complex and often straightforward answers to them more elusive. In fact, this is something that we all need to learn. Dubrin describes tolerating ambiguity as being able to accept and profit from vague, uncertain, or inconsistent information or situations. So how can we help students to develop leadership skills? Is this something that we need to be doing in school? The short answer to the second question is a resounding yes. As we've seen, good leadership entails different skills which all require practice. Firstly, it's about developing agency. In a paper entitled Student Agency, Learning to Make a Difference for the OECD Future of Education 2030 project, Charles Ledbetter sets out four essential components. The first is purpose, so what helps give meaning to learning? The second is reflection. Students need to reflect on what they're learning and why they're doing so. Self-reflection or self-awareness is an important part of this. Thirdly comes investment. Investment of both time and effort. Grit, perseverance and resilience are all required so that students are willing to persist in the face of setbacks. And lastly, students need to take on responsibility. This also involves accountability, so on the one hand admitting mistakes, but also accepting credit. As we can see, each of these components is also an important part of leadership. It's also about improving communication skills, which are at the core of being a good leader. The ability to actively listen and without judgment. Effective communication also involves the ability to focus on others and to try to minimize distractions, being able to read people's nonverbal communication and body language. A good place to start is the stop, look and listen method developed by US Professor of Communication, Stephen A. Beebe. In an interview with the Global Listening Center, Beebe describes this three-step method as follows. The stop step is about being mindful, aware, and consciously competent of one's ability to listen and focus. To stop is to calm the mental chatter and focus on the message of others. The look step is about being sensitive to nonverbal messages. To look is to listen between the lines for the meta message, the unspoken message. Emotions and attitudes are typically communicated nonverbally. The final step, listen, is to focus on the details coupled with the big ideas presented, whether it's interpersonal listening or public listening. And communication skills are, of course, integral for language learning and intercultural competence. Students also need to practice empathy, which is not only an important aspect of emotional intelligence, but also a core component for effective collaboration and communication. As neuroscientist and professor of psychology at Cambridge University, Simon Baron Cohen writes, empathy is like a universal solvent. Any problem immersed in empathy becomes soluble. And students need to tap into their emotional intelligence. In March 2022, the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, named emotional intelligence as an important trait when selecting leaders in his administration. Following this, the New York Times Learning Network asked teenagers to assess their emotional intelligence. It did this by asking the question, "Are you good at recognizing emotions in yourself and others?" Many of the respondents felt that they were strong in some of the five areas of emotional intelligence, but also admitted that they had room to grow in others. The published answers included recognition that EQ is gained through experience and that young people need time and commitment to develop this, that they're not always in control of their emotions, as well as the importance of taking time to reflect on how they feel. Getting students to reflect on this question is a good first step in getting them to see which areas they need to invest in. And importantly, students need to be able to tolerate ambiguity. Researchers have found out that tolerance for ambiguity contributes to successful acquisition of a language. We've all experienced this, encountering unknown or ambiguous language phenomena. The question is, how do we deal with it? Do we embrace the unknown and learn from it? Or do we try to avoid such situations or find them difficult to deal with? Do we need to know the exact equivalent of a word in the other language, if there even is one? Or can we deal with an explanation in the target language or a synonym? It's similar too. So what else can students do? In 2015, research was carried out for the UK government into how young people learn social and emotional skills, SES. Among other things, it revealed the importance of extracurricular activities, as these allow a physical or creative means for self-expression. Activities included sport, drama, art, music, debating and chess. Sport and debating were seen as being particularly good for honing SES skills, as well as specific leadership programs for older students. With extracurricular activities, it's also important to give students agency and to allow them opportunities to lead, for instance, running meetings or planning projects. Additionally, all students need to be given an opportunity to lead, not just the one or two who might sign up for more obvious leadership positions. One example would be giving opportunities to change school culture from within. Involvement with initiatives such as awareness of bullying or cyberbullying are, of course, widespread, but there's scope for so much more. Today, some schools have ones to do with environmental awareness or the environmental footprint of a particular school or local community, or even intercultural awareness. The 2022 Creators Camp Hackathon, Erfinde deine Schule der Zukunft, proved a great success with students in Coburg this summer, in which teams of students were encouraged to come up with ideas for their school of the future. Stephen R. Covey, leadership authority and one of Time magazine's 25 most influential Americans, believed that anyone could be a leader. He maintained it was a choice, not a position. This was borne out by his definition of what leadership is. In his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he provides the following definition. Leadership is communicating to another their worth and potential so clearly they're inspired to see it in themselves. Isn't this the essence of a teacher's role? Thank you for listening.
Teaching English Today, The 4 Cs and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gerch was brought to you by Ernstklett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.